You hear that? This is madness.
With 900 years old, you reach understood you or not.
Nerf herder.
I am a Jedi.
It's a little short for a stormtrooper.
We have what they grow beyond.
Welcome back to the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. Alongside Ryan and Sam, I am Mike, and we are very pleased to be joined by another guest as we continue to work our way through the Marvel Cinematic Universe. We're joined by Emily. Emily, thank you for being a part of the show. This is a Star Wars podcast, and we're going to get into a big conversation about Marvel. But real quickly, before we do, you know, Star Wars, what's your first take really quickly off the bat before we even ask you any questions? Tell us your Star Wars overall thoughts.
They're extremely limited. I know that movies are still coming out, but have not seen any of them. And the last time I watched a Star Wars movie was like on TBS in like 1996, probably.
Our perfect guest.
So I think,
right before the special editions. That's great. That's like a time I remember well.
90s. I remember also the year before the special editions very well. The old blizzard of the year before the special editions, I say.
You know, it's like when you get a text message from somebody and then you see the previous message you never responded to, and so you're like, oh, I remember that. And it's like that.
The special editions
are a text from my long lost friend that I didn't respond to.
Oh, do tell, Sam. What's going on there? Stay in touch with your friends, everybody.
Well, speaking of friends,
maintain relationships. It's more important than you think. Start a podcast with them.
I say we have to maintain that relationship with Chris because, you know, once again, no Chris here on the pod, and sadly without him. Yeah, good point. Who is that person, Chris? Emily will probably give us a pretty good counter to Chris. You know, I think maybe a little more focused, maybe a little bit more on topic.
I'm definitely less agreeable, and I've heard from the pod that Chris agrees with everything, and let me tell you, I don't. So
believe me, it's not only on the pod.
It's a good dynamic now to have. So with that in mind, follow us on all the social media platforms. Be our friend. You know, stay in touch with us on social media. You can follow us, Droids Pod, on Twitter, on Instagram, The Droids Podcast, on Facebook. And, of course, you can find us on iTunes. Rate and review us. Let us know if you're enjoying our Marvel Cinematic Universe rewatch as we go through the different phases of the MCU. And, of course, we'll look for those. Also, the emails, droidspod@gmail.com. Sam, I almost forgot one. Felt like I maybe needed you to jump in there, but covered it before I finished.
I trusted you'd figure it out. I find that you can always really fly by the seat of your pants on that part.
Out of the nest, baby bird. Out of the nest.
One other promo before we get into our conversation. Ryan, you've been working on a new Twitch stream. People can watch Coping Mechanics. You've also been doing some stuff related to Star Wars and a KOTOR playthrough. But tell us a little bit about what people should check out on Twitch.
Yeah, so Twitch I'm going to be using for live streams, but I'm building up on YouTube, so that's where you could find the entire library of both of these things. So for the pod, I've been doing KOTOR streams. They've been very fun. I've been behind about a week because I was traveling. And speaking of which, I'm also doing a different series on YouTube called Coping Mechanics. You could do that by searching Coping Mechanics. It is a Let's Play show where I play different games and talk about anxiety and how those games help me deal with my anxiety after my travel. This week I have a lot to talk about, so I've been off, but there's new episodes every Tuesday and Friday, and then I do Sunday Mass Effect, which I think is a very cute title. And then I'll be doing live streams on Twitch, but you can follow us on Twitter.
I'm getting that now. That's hitting me.
Yeah, you like that? You like that, baby? Sunday Mass Effect. And then you can follow it on Twitter at twitter.com/copingmechgames. So yeah, the YouTube search for Coping Mechanics, it'll come up, and please like and subscribe, check it out. We're having a good time over there.
Speaking of your anxiety, Ryan, it's about to hit through the roof on Friday when the panel for Episode 9 actually happens and you see footage of a new Star Wars film. Emily, if you've not heard earlier, Ryan usually is contemplating, concerned about his own mortality anytime a Star Wars movie is on the horizon, or at least one that is an episode Star Wars movie. So things are about to get a little bit more rough, I would say, in the near term. I don't mean to make light of anxiety, but, you know, Ryan, I know it's a topic for you.
It certainly is, and if I could tell a quick story, I had a quick emergency room visit over the weekend for nothing life threatening, and my wife Nicole was with me, and at one point she said very funnily, she said, "Oh, you're gonna die before Episode 9 comes out," because she knew that would be funny after the fact, and that is love. And she knew, because I'm not kidding, it wasn't the first time it crossed my mind.
And just to confirm, you know, Emily, this does actually confirm for you that they are indeed still making Star Wars movies, like you said earlier. So they're still happening. It's ongoing. And that's really why we're here.
That's what I thought. So maybe I'll check one out someday.
Oh, if we have one goal another on this podcast is to get another you to watch convert. Another episode of Star Wars.
I mean, we're 7 years out from 2026, and you could do a 30-year anniversary viewing on TBS of whatever TBS has the rights to at that time. That'd be really fun. We'll have you back.
TBS will have the rights to Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place. So that might be your only options.
We'll have you back on the pod then, and you know, we'll at that point, obviously, you know, we'll be big enough to really, you know, pay you your full numbers for your visit.
I do actually right now have my friend's husband's the first three Star Wars movies, like chronologically, first three that came out. I borrowed the DVDs from him, and I'm like kind of accidentally holding them hostage. I think I've had them for like 2 years now, so.
They're worth
Maybe
a
I'll
watch, Emily.
Out.
They're wonderful films.
I'll be honest. If they're DVDs, he's not looking for them.
That's
yeah, true.
Fair.
Yeah. I would just hold them forever then.
I have to say that was probably Ryan's lightest endorsement of a Star Wars film I've ever heard. I mean, I appreciate it. It was a little restrained. You were just trying to make sure you didn't overwhelm with your enthusiasm. I respect it.
I'm trying not to get too excited, Mike. Episode 9 is coming out soon.
Well, speaking of Episode 9, I mentioned that we're going to have some news on Friday. There is the panel at Celebration. Star Wars Celebration begins tomorrow. Well, this podcast is what, going up tonight, hopefully, Ryan, as I say that tomorrow. This podcast is recorded before the start of Star Wars Celebration in Chicago, which is still painful for me as a lifelong Chicago resident until the past 2 years to now not be in Chicago when this is happening. But a little bit of news before we talk a little bit more to Emily about her thoughts on Star Wars and the Marvel Cinematic Universe is that the panels, there was a lottery to get tickets to go to the Phantom Menace panel, Episode 9, Mandalorian, and it resulted in fans who are going to Celebration that if they tried to apply for the lottery as a group, only one or maybe two got in, but not the entire group. So say that you traveled, put all this time together, put in the money and the energy to get to Chicago for Celebration to find out that not only did you not get into the panel, but your friend maybe did and you can't go, or you didn't get in at all, and you can't even get into the overflow rooms to watch the panel as well, even though it's streaming everywhere. Feel like they could have executed this a little bit better for those who've made the trip, that they wouldn't be so disappointed to miss out on a panel that really is one of the main reasons that they went. Now, there are others who say that, you know, you're there for Celebration, you're there for everything else that's part of it, not just the panels. Nonetheless, I think that you could have done a better job than splitting up people who applied together.
I think they did it perfectly, Mike, and I just want to say that to all our Disney-employed listeners out there. I think this was a brilliant execution. I couldn't come up with a better way to do it myself, and Mike does not speak exclusively for all of us here on the pod. Now, having got that out of the way, I want to pose a question. I want to jump right in. If one of you guys got in, would you go? If I didn't?
If the four main hosts of the pod applied?
I'm assuming the droids, the droids, the lifelong, the buddies, the R2s and the C3s of
okay,
the group.
Okay, so if Mike, Emily, and I got in, and you didn't get in, would we go?
Yeah, well, all right, that's a poor example. Let me phrase it another way. Or, yes, that's what I'm getting at, but I want to phrase it like, if Mike, Emily, and I didn't get in, Ryan, would you go?
Oh, yeah, and I'd fill you in.
Well, I think it's a complicated.
I'd want you there.
It's a complicated question because really, for the pod, you gotta go because one of us has to be there to be able to convey on the pod what it was like right. to be in the room. So
luckily, we don't have to worry about this because our panel is Saturday at noon.
Emily, what's your favorite part of Star Wars Celebration?
This conversation so far.
Yeah, it's pretty good. We're having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying is the lottery is ruining the franchise. When I was younger, in Lucas's original trilogy, there was never a lottery that would screw this up. I flew to Nebraska so I could go and hang out in a con at the bottom of a church basement. There was no lottery.
Well, I believe we have some thoughts, though, in another dispatch.
I bet Ryan Johnson came up with this lottery.
Oh, yeah, he did. Ruin Johnson. He did it again, right? Chris has sent a dispatch. Once again, we don't know what Chris will bring to the table, but certainly we can imagine it will be from the outer rim of all of our possible thoughts. We will play that now for you as we get ready for celebration.
That's a great description of Chris. Chris is sure definitely on the outer rim.
I'm sure it'll be very agreeable.
Sad Chris is for not being able to attend tonight's podcast.
Hey guys, it's not Yoda, it's me, it's Chris. So sorry I can't make it tonight. Really wish I could. Marvel Phase 3 is probably the best phase. It's like the fully realized version of all the movies. I mean, you've got Spider-Man coming back too. Spider-Man's my fave. It's great to see him. And you basically get like a bonus Avengers movie with Captain America Civil War. But who cares about any of this? Guys, I'm happy to announce on Friday, we will be doing a bonus episode of the Push to talk about all things Star Wars Celebration. That's coming up. Look out for that. Happy to announce it. Really hope that they release that trailer. If they don't, I'm putting the cart in front of the horse. As you can hear, I'm walking. Always busy. Always traveling the galaxy. We'll have that. Lots more. Thank you, guys. Enjoy. LOL. Lots of love. Talk to you later. After your band practice.
As always, Chris delivering from the field from inside a cement truck.
I was gonna guess skateboarders just running by him at all times during
If skateboarders were going by Chris, he would have gotten jumped and beat up, believe me.
We'd have heard, hey, give me back my backpack.
Oh.
Skateboarders hate Chris.
Emily, you established your time with Star Wars. It's been a while, but in your memories back to what you have seen, is there anything that stands out more than anything else? Is there a character, a scene? What really, when you think of Star Wars, when someone brings it up to you, what do you think of?
Yeah, well, for some reason, as a child, I always gravitated towards the scary characters. So, like, in watching A Christmas Story, I was mostly intrigued by Jacob Marley when he comes back as a ghost.
Are you referring to A Christmas Carol?
Yeah, what did I say? Oh, yeah, A Christmas Carol.
Because Ralphie is terrifying.
Oh, not Ralphie. The kid in the raccoon hat is terrifying. That's the terrifying part of A Christmas Story.
I don't like it when Emily was talking about Jacob Marley. I think it's scary when Ralphie wakes up in the middle of the night and is like, "Woe is me." That's for all my Marley heads out there.
Anyway, so I definitely remember thinking that Darth Vader was really scary, and that was intriguing, like when he marches around and that music plays. And his head's ugly. That's crazy. I mean, he said it like
his marching makes the music play.
I thought, well, it's like the soundtrack to him marching around, right?
Yeah, but like true. I like to imagine that like if he stopped, the music would stop.
It's like that boombox. In my mind, it does.
Go on, I'm sorry.
The main things I can remember from Star Wars are Darth Vader exists. He's Luke's father. I remember that whole, like, reveal. And at one point, they, like, fall down a garbage chute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, those are the things I remember about Star Wars.
Those are the three big ones.
The garbage chute, though, is a pretty good call out for not being a big fan of Star Wars. I think
I just remember thinking that was crazy and gross, so that's why it stuck with me.
You're not wrong.
Emily's so we're gonna put down favorite scene, garbage chute scene. Favorite character, Darth Vader. Favorite music, Darth Vader's boombox sound crew for walking around the Death Star.
Ugliest helmet, Darth Vader's.
It's got a big ugly head.
Well, one other question before we move on to the MCU.
If you think the helmet's ugly, you should see what's underneath.
You're talking about Hayden Christensen?
No, no, I'm talking about that guy that has that weird thumb head.
To be fair, Emily, you were talking about his actual head, right?
Yeah, it's revealed at one point. It's really messed up, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, you're totally right. I knew you had that. Ryan was trying to make it sound like you're talking about the helmet, but we all know the helmet's dope.
But Emily, I would say one question for as not a big Star Wars fan, what do you think of the overall cultural impact? Before we talk about the MCU, just that there is this, you know, passionate enough people to have a Star Wars podcast like us, but thousands of others who do the same, that it has this crazy thousands of people show up, go across the country to go to a convention for it. I guess, what do you think of this popularity in overall culture worldwide that Star Wars has?
Definitely commendable. They really created something big. And
diplomatic.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's all I'm going to say. I'm going to leave it at that.
All right. Fair enough. So as we move to phase three of the MCU, if you've listened to the last two podcasts, you've heard us talk about phase one and phase two. We are diving into the Marvel side of things, being that they are owned by Disney. Part of the plan for expanding Star Wars is almost following the mold of what Marvel has done, not to the same degree where they are doing every story connected, because obviously they're the side stories, but building out a cinematic universe or a cinematic galaxy, if you want to call it. That's what Star Wars is trying to do as well. So we take some thoughts away, we review the films, we think about the films, and see that maybe how they could connect to Star Wars. But as we look at Marvel Cinematic Universe Phase 3, Sam, I know you like kicking these off. I'm going to throw it over to you.
Oh, yeah. Well, first what we're going to do, we're going to talk about where we're at when Phase 3 happens. As we talked about, you know, the first phase introduced us to our heroes. They were sort of the B-level celebs of the Marvel comics, introduced and leading up to the Avengers, where they all assembled, and it was this whole new thing, this idea of a connected universe. Phase two dove in deeper. It got a little dark. Everybody's losing hands left and right. And it all led to, well, Age of Ultron and then Ant-Man as a nice little button. But as our guest last week, Rachel, pointed out, during phase two, it was a lot of sort of contained and self-involved stories for all our heroes. They're really focused on the sort of their own local villains. In the meantime, we have Thanos, behind the scenes, going after them Infinity Stones, and laying his plans. So we're up to phase three. I'm going to run through the movies, and then I have one question real quick. But so the movies we're going to talk about in Phase 3 are Captain America Civil War, Doctor Strange, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, Spider-Man Homecoming, Thor Ragnarok, Black Panther, Avengers Infinity War, Captain Marvel, and coming up to close out the Phase 3, Avengers Endgame. And I want to ask, because it was also a question that we covered last week with guest Rachel. Emily, prior to this pod, were you conscious and aware of the different phases of the Marvel movies, or was this something new that when we like brought it up for the pod that was like a new concept to you?
Yeah, it was a pretty new concept. I mean, I had read that they had really comprehensive plans for how they were going to roll out all of the movies and then have characters be together in different movies. But honestly, Marvel movies haven't even been really on my radar until the past month. Like, I was pretty much paying no attention to them at all. So, yeah, I wasn't very aware of the phases. I knew they had a master plan, but I didn't know what movies were in different phases and that there were three phases and all of that.
So can you give us, like, so what got you into it? If it wasn't on your radar until recently?
Yeah, well, actually, a tragic event got me interested. I fully ruptured my Achilles tendon while I was playing tennis in January. And as it turns out, that is an extremely long recovery. So I had tons of time on my hands. And basically, the only things I could do, since I couldn't walk for like 2 months, was crutch to like a movie theater and see a movie, or like go eat dinner somewhere. And my friend and I decided to see Captain Marvel, honestly, just because, like, out of the options showing at the theater, this one was of the most interest to us. I don't know if I would have actually gone to see it if I hadn't been injured and just desperate to do something.
Invalid.
Yes, very immobile.
Your injured life sounds a lot like my regular everyday
that's
life.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
I mean, and another way to connect with some of the interests of those on the pod is that I also got into playing video games, but for Nintendo 64. And not to get off too off track, but I did beat Toy Story 2.
Not a small feat. When you told me you were playing it, I looked it up, and it is commonly
I think you said unplayable.
Yeah.
The graphics don't bother me. They're perfect for my feet.
I do want to, I mean, I think this is great. Just to jump, I mean, this is a great reason to reinforce to what I think a lot of our listeners already know. And that's you know, this is why you shouldn't play tennis.
You shouldn't be active. You should probably just watch Marvel movies.
Marvel movies and video games.
Did you ever, yeah. you didn't but, tear your Achilles? You never, did you tear anything watching a Marvel movie?
I definitely don't think I'm going to tear anything in a 59-hour screening at AMC in a week or two, where I just sit there in one seat for three consecutive days.
Are you doing that?
No.
Oh, thank God. Mike.
That would be its own form of pain that you'd need to recover from.
Yeah, there
months.
Would be other negative effects, I think.
Very much so.
Most of them, so, yeah.
Bed sores of some kind.
Yeah. So, Emily, go on. So, you're
anyway,
in the
yeah,
theater.
You're
so watching
I saw
Captain
Marvel.
Marvel.
And I loved it. I love Brie Larson. You know, loved having a female protagonist. I was aware. So I saw back to phase one. I did see Iron Man and Iron Man 2. And I was really into, I know these aren't Marvel, but I was really into the X-Men movies when like the original ones came out. So I was into superhero movies for a while. But then I just felt like totally inundated by them. And like I couldn't keep up. And then I just didn't care anymore. And honestly, like, as we know, most of them are helmed by men, and I don't know, I just, like, kind of lost interest totally. But Captain Marvel really pulled me in again, because I love, like I said, I love the movie, thought Brie Larson was awesome. I thought it was a really compelling narrative and portrayal of a female superhero. Like, she never was wearing, like, a miniskirt and a bustier or anything. Like, she had actual armor. And when she changed into real clothes, they made sense for what she was up to. Like, not, like, a weird outfit that... Mm-hmm.
It wasn't
be totally
Wonder
unrealistic.
Woman where she had the sword in her back of her dress.
Right, exactly. She was never in, like, heels while she ran around and, like, fought people. But anyway, so after I watched Captain Marvel, had all this time on my hands and decided to watch some of the other movies... and I probably watched them in the worst possible order, because the movie I watched after Captain Marvel was Infinity War. and Ryan had given me some background. But anyway, so I watched Infinity War. Then I proceeded to continue in a really bad order. I watched Captain America Civil War and then Age of Ultron. And basically just kept going, like, back in time, which was its own interesting experience. Because then, like, for example, when I watched Captain America Civil War, I was like, why does Captain America care about this Bucky guy so much? And then when I finally got to the original Captain America, I figured it out. So, yeah, it's been an interesting journey.
I'm actually curious. I wonder, did you find... So we've been, obviously, for the pod, doing our own rewatches. And now I've admittedly not gone through every movie. I haven't had the time. But like, I've been rewatching some of the early ones. I did rewatch the first two Iron Man movies recently. Yeah, I don't think you pluralize it when you're talking about, like, movies. But anyway, I did watch the first two Iron Man movies. And I'm curious, like, if your intro was Captain Marvel and you really appreciated the Brie Larson's portrayal of, like, a female-led protagonist superhero, like, have you found going back to be kind of retrograde? Because I felt like some of the Iron Man stuff was dated at this point.
Yeah, specifically the Iron Man movies are an extremely different tone than a movie like Captain Marvel, or even I would say the other movies in Phase 3. Like, I felt like The Wasp has a lot of agency in Ant-Man mm-hmm. and the Wasp. Wait, is that a Phase 3 movie?
It is.
It is.
Oh, okay.
Oh. Whoa,
well, it's tough because, like Captain Marvel, it was after Infinity War, but we're still technically in Phase 3.
You left it off, Sam.
Oof.
Wow, I hate to be
peek
the expert here,
that.
But...
Peek behind the curtain.
But yeah, there's like, okay, I'm trying to think. So Leslie Bibb is in the first Iron Man.
Yeah.
And she plays the reporter, and she sleeps with Robert Downey Jr. And then she's like incredibly slut-shamed, and Robert Downey Jr. faces no, like, that's just his thing, is to be like a womanizer.
Yeah,
and
doesn't Gwyneth Paltrow
just like, haha, like, you're my womanizer boss. And like, I don't know, it's just really, yeah, it feels very old.
And doesn't Gwyneth Paltrow say, like, I'm here to take out the trash?
Yep.
Yes, yes, yeah. She does say that.
And they make a they then double down on the joke in the sequel, which is particularly where
it's really egregious.
They say something about she spread for like something like something terrible, like some joke about Leslie Bibb in the second one.
It is. And I found it interesting going back because I think it highlights the trajectory we're on and the way things are changing. And I think it highlights a really, really good direction that the Disney and Marvel movies are headed, where they are trying to be just more responsible and give better opportunities across the board. I think it's why
Jon Favreau is getting The Lion King, because, you know, the guy who brought you Iron Man and Iron Man 2 deserved more opportunities to continue to work for Disney.
Okay.
I mean, they had great success, but I just mean the guy who was okay with those jokes and happy to put them in his film is now continuing to rise.
Do you need a guy who actors like and has zero vision? Call Favreau. Yeah, I said it. I'm burning down my Hollywood career.
I don't know where Favreau's at these days. I definitely appreciate what you guys are saying.
I think he's in Chicago for a celebration.
I think he's also just at ILM approving shots.
Of talented directors?
No, so. Just saying, the fur looks good in that one. Approved. Oh, could we get the lighting a little better? Anyway, directed.
Having done our requisite dump on Favreau for the pod for this episode, Emily, now that I've updated our list since I had forgotten to include Ant-Man and the Wasp previously, mm-hmm. of the 10 movies in Phase 3, which also commenced with Cap Civil War was 2016. So 10 movies since 2016. Are there any we should skip over that you haven't seen, or have you seen all these? Or
so I'm embarrassed to admit that I have watched all of these movies in, keep in mind, like the past month, including all the other ones too from the other phases, except for Doctor Strange. Mm. I think that's the only one. And it's funny, I had tried before I decided to get into the Marvel movies. It was on Netflix like a year or two ago. I mean, I don't know when it came out, so I guess maybe it was like a year ago. And I watched the first 15 minutes, and I hated it. Mm-hmm. And I like didn't know what was going on and just turned it off. So I might end up watching it now that I've watched all the others, but I don't know.
Can I give a hot take on this?
Go for it.
I think Doctor Strange should be used like Bruce Banner. I don't think he should have his own movies. I think he works as a peripheral character better.
Oh, I think that's a really good call. I think you're really smart.
Because I really don't like that movie for a plethora of reasons. Like, I think it's like, as a movie, it's like fine. I think that it has some like really problematic stuff. So like putting that aside, which I prefer not to, but if we're just talking about like its success as a like narrative, it's like fine.
What's your top problematic aspect of it?
There's just a lot of like problematic. I find, you know, and this isn't just me, obviously, and nor am I like the voice for this, but there are a lot of problematic things in terms of like appropriation of Asian cultures and things like that, and it's like undeniable in that, like, there's just so many things in that movie. It's like a classic like Westerner going to like the mystical East to learn the arts, you know, and I just don't think it's not a good look.
Well, you know,
they managed to both go ahead, give Sam. Rachel McAdams nothing to do and fridge the other woman in the movie.
So that's one of the reasons I did check it out before I was interested, because I love Rachel McAdams and I saw mm-hmm. she was in it. But then, like, was she even in it? I had watched, a good bit of the opening and just.
I would say that. So I'll jump in with just two thoughts on Doctor Strange, because actually I think, Ryan, you make an excellent point, particularly considering Infinity War, where I think he was used much, much better than maybe his own movie.
And Ragnarok.
I think, so let me for a moment just put aside your other points, Ryan, about the sort of like problematic appropriation and like that movie's issues with women, but like just from a movie perspective, I think one of the big problems with that movie is that like it gets interesting to me at like minute 45, and then I think it's actually really, really fun. Again, I'm setting aside some other issues, I think like once he becomes a mystic and, you know, a sorcerer, I think that movie, you know, it borrows heavily like all the Marvel movies, but I think it's really visually fun. I think the climax, like the sort of climactic battle of that movie is one of the more fun ones in the Marvel universe.
I was total agreement with you, Sam.
So Emily, I don't know what to tell you. I think maybe watch it, but with a big sort of like grain of salt, because I think it's like only sort of the second half has some cool, like fun magic stuff in it, you know, as like his superpower. But I don't know. That's an interesting shout, Ryan.
Yeah, and like, I mean, that was, you know, this isn't coming directly from me. This was written about a bunch when the movie came out, you know, like it's.
I was very curious, Ryan, just being that was the standout, but just being there are a lot of problems. To me, there are some problems story-wise. One of the biggest things is that he never learns anything before being welcomed in to then gain all of these mystical skills. You know, he spends 1 minute out on a door stoop, and then they let him in.
Yeah, there's also, like, this thing of, like, he's never, like, humbled, you know?
Yeah, that's kind of what I mean, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's just like he starts as like this person who's great and arrogant at something, and then that's taken away from him, so he finds something else to be great and arrogant about.
Well, he does go back to his arrogance. I don't want to exclusively defend this movie because I think there are better movies to talk about in this phase, but I think the one of the best scenes in the film is in his first sort of first superhero moment, his first fight as a sorcerer. He kills one of the enemies, and I think that Benedict Cumberbatch, who I do think is actually a really great actor, mm-hmm. Of his generation, like gives a really sort of interesting and nuanced performance where he describes like the reason he became a doctor being to save lives and the oath he took as like a reason to not be a sorcerer and not engage in this sort of mystical battle that's going on and not defend the sort of new world he's been entered into. And I think that scene's actually really, really good. So I don't know. I put the movie, it's fairly low on my overall list of all these films. But do we want to, I don't know. I don't want to like enforce an order. I don't know. Where should we go? Like, do we want to talk about some of the other ones?
We should go back to Civil War. It's too big a film to not begin with Civil War as the start of Phase 3. I do find it funny that we did talk for, a good 5 minutes about a movie that Emily did not see.
Yeah. Well, that's also where I want to move.
Which one should we not talk about?
I'm very curious, specifically with Emily here. You watch Civil War in reverse order, not the movie itself, but now I'm very interested because, like, I think that Civil War, which I love, is made to be like watched by people who know what's going on, like opening weekend in a crowded theater. Like, I think that's how that movie plays. There's like almost applause breaks. So as someone who like had no preamble going in and also was watching it either alone or with one other person, how did this movie play to you?
So I should preface all of my comments by saying that I could really do nothing but watch these movies. And watching them all in quick succession made me have really, I really didn't watch them with a critical eye, I would say, for the most part. Like, I caught things that I thought were funny, but it was really just, like, keep me entertained while I was really bored. But Civil War was definitely confusing to me because I, like, like I said, I didn't really know who Bucky was.
Were you like, what's a Sokovia?
Right, like everything was. I was just trying to work off the context clues. I'm forgetting how it even really opened.
They're in a country, and like it's when Scarlet Witch like accidentally blows up the building.
Yeah. The main thing I remember about that was I was like, wait, where's her extremely thick Russian accent? Because
they did drop that.
They were in the midst of phasing it out.
Okay.
Phase three-ing it out.
Yeah, I mean, I really do like how it opened up because, I mean, I think this was like a common, I know this was addressed in the DC universe with like the Batman Superman versus Superman, but It was pretty clear in a lot of the movies leading up to this one that they were just like destroying cities without repercussions. Mm-hmm. So I like that they like focused on that and the impact they were having. Even though they were trying to do good, they're also like actually killing other people while they're trying to defend off these enemies. So I thought I liked the storyline.
Yeah, that was a really good choice for that film, and I think it was right around the same time, right? Wasn't there the earlier Superman or it wasn't Batman versus Superman at that time. It was something. It was the Superman movie.
It was Man of Steel.
Age of Ultron almost felt like a response because so many times in Age of Ultron they made a note of being like no civilians in building.
Oh yeah,
and they'd be like, all right, let's smash it.
But Emily, it brings up a really interesting question. Do you feel like, and I know you watched a bunch of these, but you watched them out of order. Do they work on their own as standalone films?
Okay, that's a good question. And I would say that there are some, so I don't think that all of them work as standalone films. I would say, I mean, I enjoyed Infinity War, and I think that's the only one of these I've watched twice, because I watched it, like I said, I watched it after I saw Captain Marvel. Then after I watched most of them, I went back and watched it again, because I like really understood what was going on then, or a lot more of what was going on. There's definitely a different feel to the movies that are standalone films. Like, I would say the first two Captain America movies definitely could just stand alone on their own. And then, I mean, a lot of these, like Spider-Man Homecoming, mm-hmm. just felt like a complete film on its own. The Ant-Man, the first one, and Ant-Man and the Wasp. I mean, so I guess what I'm saying is, like, the movies that aren't, that focus on, like, one or maybe two superheroes without having a big, like, Captain America Civil War was, I'm confusing it honestly with Age of Ultron because one, I watched those back to back, and also they contained so many characters mm-hmm. that I'm having trouble placing the scenes as like a Captain America movie. So I know that he's a big focus obviously in Civil War, but there's also so many of the other characters in that one.
It's kind of like a mini Avengers movie.
It's where they introduced Black Panther in that movie.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Which is
and
crazy.
Spider-Man too.
Yes, and the Marvel Spider-Man.
But I love that you say that, Emily, because I went and saw this Captain America Civil War. I'm a huge Captain America fan. I loved the first two films. I was so excited after, you know, Avengers and Age of Ultron to get another Captain America movie. So my expectations were so high. This was a Captain America story. And I went and saw it early because there was some crazy marketing thing they were doing where they put it out like 3 or 4 weeks before if you got into a screening. And I was completely amped up. And Ryan, you talked about the opening weekend crowd for that kind of thing. People who know everything are going to be applauding during the movie. I was so disappointed that it wasn't a Captain America movie to me, that it was Avengers movie. It was an Avengers point half movie or whatever it was. I wanted it to be a Cap story.
I mean, when you put Iron Man in there, it's almost like it's Captain America and Iron Man.
Yeah.
Like, it should have been titled something like, I mean, that's clunky, but
it could have just been
he plays such
Civil
a massive
War.
Role. It's like, they're two main Avengers, and they're both starring in the movie.
Yeah.
I just remember Captain America Civil War.
I remember when they announced, just to rewind, they had announced at this point, they had like laid out the groundwork for phases 2 and 3 some time ago, and they announced that they were doing Captain America 3, or, you know, Captain America Civil War, and Avengers Infinity War. And I remember some of my like real deep comic book Marvel fans were like, doesn't that feel flipped? Like they should do Infinity War, or like the Infinity War thing should be like the one off, and Captain Civil War should be the two part Avengers movie, or like Civil War should be the two part Avengers story, because it felt like the bigger event in comics. And obviously that's not what they were setting up from the first Avengers with the appearance of Thanos. And I think I think they've done it in a really great way, but just to sort of, reaffirm what you guys are saying about it feeling like an Avengers movie. I mean, Civil War was an event that rocked the whole Marvel comics universe. So it was something that included like everybody, and they did condense it into a movie. I actually think that Civil War is one of the ones that I don't think holds up as well on rewatch. I know it's like a fan favorite, but I maybe it's because, to your points, Emily and Mike, like that the first two caps work better as standalones. Like, I think Civil War is like tricky to sit and watch.
I think sometimes in my experience watching them, the bigger movies with a lot of characters sometimes just feel like a compilation of action sequences where I think with Captain America, like for example, with Captain America and then the second one, it just seems like there's more character development and you're learning about the characters and the conflicts and like different personal motivations. And then there are multiple action sequences. I don't know. I just, with Civil War and Age of Ultron and Infinity War, it's just, I feel like they're trying to impress you and throw you with like these really big action sequences, which are fun to watch. But then I just think it doesn't work as well as a standalone film that has like a start, middle, and end.
Well, it's interesting. I'm realizing as you're saying this that like, if you look at the Marvel Cinematic Universe is this like mega narrative, right? And if you look at it as like one giant movie in terms of pacing, the Avengers, like everyone together movies, would be kind of like the giant action set pieces.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it's like if you were looking at this, like if you were like Mike and you were watching 59 hours of Marvel movies, like those would be where those things happen. So it's like interesting that they were like built that way, where it's like you have these movies where there's set pieces within them, but then like there's the set piece movies.
No, mm-hmm. Ryan, I was going to say the exact same thing. I was just going to jump in with that. I think
I said it first, so.
So you're right.
Well, I think somebody said that like the
Jeopardy
earlier
rules.
I was just reading this today that there's the earlier movies are setting up all the stuff. So really it's all dessert when you get to an Avenger in one of those movies. It's just basically all dessert.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting because like when Infinity War came out, I remember someone asked me like, was it like good? And I was like, I loved it. And they were like, does it make sense as a movie on its own? And I was like, I don't know, like, nor like should it really? You know, it's like, how could it? And also like, should it even have to? Because like, I understand that people are going to see it like everyone's Marvel movie is their first Marvel movie, but like it was the 19th movie. Like, so it's like, are we asking too much that it needs to like play on its own? Perhaps. I don't know.
That one, I don't think. I mean, there's certain ones in here that don't need to play on their own, but I think, you know, there's other, you would hope that the majority of movies could be seen. And even if you don't get all of it, even from context clues, that it could still work as a movie. Like you said, seeing sure. Captain Marvel as your first one, Emily, it worked, even though you didn't know mm-hmm. what was going on with all these other references.
Okay, so I would say it's like the same thing. I'll compare it to the Harry Potter series. In the first three Harry Potter books, when you start reading them, she's always like, Harry Potter had discovered he was a wizard, and like, blah, blah, blah. And she gives you this buildup, but by the fourth book, she like cuts that out. It's like, you should just, you're reading this book, and you should just know that Harry's the boy who lived, and he's a wizard. Like, she doesn't do these, like, couple paragraphs giving you the background. Yeah. And so
there's
same
no
thing, like, if you're going to watch Endgame, like, you probably shouldn't expect the first, you know, however long in the movie to tell you who Thanos is. Like, you should probably go into it knowing.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm arguing against what I said, but.
No, I think that's, like, I think that actually is a fair expectation at this point with what they've built, you know? And, like, I think there is a world in which maybe Infinity War doesn't work as it's completely its own movie, but it's also like the culture we live in is like it's not asking you to see it if you're ignorant of the other, you know, 18 movies that came before it, right? Like, it's basically, I mean, it was a movie made for a very, very large audience that had a lot of background on it. So, and I think that's allowed.
Emily, I gave you like a, you had mentioned before, I gave you a quick rundown before you watched Infinity War. Was that helpful?
Okay, it was really helpful. And also, Ryan, basically, I'd reached out to him and said, like, I'm getting into the Marvel movies and I've decided to watch Infinity War first. And he was like, here's what you need to know. And I think he basically just said, Cap and Iron Man are not on speaking terms. Thanos is trying to get all the Infinity Stones. He snaps and makes, like, half of the universe disappear. What's funny about that
Wait,
to me...
Wait, you said that going into the movie?
I don't think I said the snap thing. I think I said he's trying to get these six stones. They'll make him all powerful.
Yeah.
I know, so I know you said something about a snap only because when I watched the movie and Thanos literally snaps, I laughed out loud because in my mind, I don't know. I thought the snap was like not, you weren't literally referring to like a hand snapping.
No, it sounds well, like, it sounds like a phrase. It's like, there's a line that Gamora has in the movie where she's like, all he has to do, snap his fingers and half of all life is wiped out. And it kind of seems like, oh, I get it. It's like the Midas touch. He just snaps his fingers and gets what he wants. But like, then it's like, no, literally. Like, yeah, we're being serious. He snaps his fingers.
It begs the question, is it an act of showmanship on his part? Like, did he really need to? Also, she really does, like, she says, snap his fingers like this. And then she snaps, and it's like, was she really explaining to everyone what a snap was?
Well, let's not jump on Zoe Saldana's performance. I think she's wonderful.
No, but that wasn't a jump on Zoe
Saldana. I don't know why Ryan hates Zoe Saldana.
I adore
her. Let's go back. Emily, how far into your rewatch did you get to Guardians 2?
I've watched Guardians 1 and 2 now. So I'm up to date with the Guardians.
Was it early? Did you get to the Guardians flicks early or?
No, I definitely didn't prioritize them because
Interesting. Interesting. Because
I mean,
you'd only seen Star Wars once in 1996.
Right. So the space stuff just wasn't for me. No, I mean, I like them. I guess, this probably isn't fair to say because I'm sure this could be argued either way, but I just feel like those movies carry less weight. Like, there's the stakes don't feel as high to me. And sometimes when there's a lot of pop culture references, it kind of takes me out of the movie. Like, I think it's almost pandering how much Chris Pratt, like, makes these references to 80s stars and stuff, so people in the audience are like, ha, 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 like he mentioned Kurt Russell or like whatever. That just doesn't work for me as well, I guess. But ultimately, I thought the movies were fun. They're probably not ones that I would really, you know, care to rewatch that much.
Ooh.
I have to say, I love the first Guardians. Guardians 2, I forget it the minute it's over every time.
I
really love Yondu, though. That story in Guardians 2 with Yondu is really wonderful.
Yeah.
I
did love that storyline. And also, I hate that I succumbed to this, but I did love Groot.
Oh, I don't... Yeah, I think... I mean...
What a contrarian.
Do you feel like that's basic?
Yeah, I do. I mean, it's a little cute baby tree. Of course everyone loves him.
Everyone loves him.
I really love both the Guardians movies, and I know I remember Ryan, you said, I don't know, at some point it came up in a separate conversation, and you were really down on the second one overall. Like
I want to love it so bad. Like, I've watched it so many times being like, I'm gonna love it this time.
I do, and the only thing that I would sort of level against it, although I think I maybe like it better than the first one, but I don't know. Don't hold me to that just yet. But like, the only thing I remember is like on rewatch, there are beats where it feels a little long. Like, as a movie, Guardians Volume 2, I think, definitely like luxuriates in itself a little bit. But I do love all the needle drops. I do love Kurt Russell. And I think the sort of climax of that movie, which includes the sort of like Yondu storyline, and just also the like end battle, which, you know, the first movie it's a dance off, and this one is like a full on like fight. I like it. I love that like sequence. I love the whole Planet Ego thing. So Guardians 2 is really high for me, actually.
Can I ask a question about the pop culture references?
Yes.
Yes, thank you. So I was thinking about this recently. So I was specifically thinking about, in Infinity War, Peter Parker references the movie Aliens.
Right.
Which stars Sigourney Weaver.
Yes.
Sigourney Weaver is a character in the MCU.
Yeah, but not a film character. So
no, but it's the same universe.
Yeah.
Remind me.
Because she plays the villain in The Defenders. And in The Defenders, reference...
TV is separate. Doesn't count.
What?
That's the answer. Doesn't count.
They reference the big event in New York universe.
No, TV, the Netflix series always reference the movies because like they want to get in on that. And Feige's like, he has no control over that. So he was just like, he doesn't know what's going on in the TV world. I don't think it counts. Although let me not disparage Sigourney Weaver.
Marvel is saying it counts. I'll be on Ryan's side there. They're
so if I'm going canonically, what I'm saying is with things like that, like they reference Kevin Bacon, right? I'm sure Kevin Bacon has been in a movie with someone in the MCU. And it's like, does that break the universe?
Well, your point is stronger on Sigourney Weaver being in a Marvel property. Kevin Bacon has not been in a Marvel property, even if he's acted with somebody who's been in a Marvel movie.
No, I understand. But what I'm saying is, like, pop culture references, you're playing with fire, because eventually they're going to, like, offhandedly make a reference to a movie that Robert Downey Jr. is in, and then the whole thing's going to implode.
I get what you're going for, but I mean, we also have, like, we know that Disney Plus is, like, gonna come as a new streaming service and launch a bunch of actually, like, Disney and Marvel produced TV series. I think for all their strengths, the Netflix series are gonna kind of go down as not actually canon when it comes down to it. I know they referenced the event in New York. I know, like, I get what you're saying. I know they've been presented as though they were canon, and I think that's not going to hold up long term.
Let's bring it back around. Emily, what'd you think of Spider-Man Homecoming?
I love Spider-Man Homecoming. I was shocked by how much I loved it because I feel like there's been way too many Spider-Mans. And
definitely,
I loved the Tobey Maguire one. I don't think I ever saw the third, but I loved the first and second one. Andrew Garfield ones I didn't like, and then when I heard they were doing it again, I thought that's enough, I'm not gonna see that ever. And I watched it obviously when I got into these movies, and I loved it, and I'm so glad it wasn't an origin story, because I really don't need to see that story retold again. So I like that we just dropped in and he already knows he's Spider-Man. And I loved, what is it, Marissa Tomei as the aunt. I thought that was great, and also her age actually does make sense to be his aunt, or like his age too. So I had never thought about that before, because like Aunt May is actually like super old to be his aunt. She's supposed to be his great aunt in the actual, like in the other movies, because
maybe
that's what I was gonna wonder. I was gonna say, like, there's a thing people talk about, like, oh, Marissa Tomei is like so young to be playing Aunt May, but I'm like, yeah, but not really. Like those other, like everybody else who's ever been Aunt May is just like kind of old for an aunt.
Yeah, I think I looked up her age to verify that when I was watching. I think she's like 54, and he's supposed to be 15, so it more than makes sense.
Yeah, I agree. And
what about
Tom Holland?
What about Michael Keaton?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, Mike. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
I'm just curious what you thought of Keaton as the Vulture.
Yeah, I liked him. I mean, I thought he was good. I don't really have any complaints about this movie. I really liked it. I like the sidekick friend. I like that it kind of grappled with teenage angst as well as being the superhero. I thought Jon Favreau was funny in it too. He's Sonny, right? Or is his name Sonny?
Happy.
Happy.
Happy. Okay, Happy. Yeah, I really enjoyed this movie.
I think it was, I remember this is one, so I'll Ryan, this is one for me that, like, I absolutely loved every second of it in the theater. But I had the effect of, like, I kind of forgot it as soon as I left. Like, this one didn't stick with me. And I definitely owe it a rewatch, because I remember loving it so much. And I especially love, I think at this point we're far enough in that people who don't want spoilers are already tuned out. But, like, but the big turn and the big reveal I thought was, like, one of the few times in a superhero movie that, like, the reveal was a surprise to me in the moment, like Keaton being the father of the girl he's like interested in school.
So quick,
I thought it was great.
Quick funny anecdote about that is that I was watching this movie, and I've been at my parents' house due to the injury and not being able to do steps and stuff. My dad walks into the living room and he's like, "Oh, Michael Keaton's in this. He's the dad." I was like, "What? I'm only like 30
Your
minutes
dad did
in."
You did.
Yes. So he watched the movie before and wandered in, and I was like, "I didn't know that." So it was not, when you just said big surprise, I was like, "What's the big surprise?" And then I realized it wasn't big to me because it was ruined.
Your dad just has Google alerts on dad.
Yeah.
So I do have, we haven't talked enough about Tom Holland. He is quite winning and charming throughout this, and it's continued to carry over. And really,
they finally got it right.
He's a wonderful addition. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was primed to love this movie because, okay, is it Civil War? We already said Spider-Man's introduced in Civil War. Is that the one that he's in? Yeah. Okay, so I loved him in that. And then, as I said, Infinity War is the second movie I watched in the Marvel Universe. And he's so funny in that, too. Specifically, my favorite scene is when they're on some planet and they were going to get the glove, but then stupid Peter Quill ruined everything. And Spider-Man's like web slinging to save everyone. He's like, I'm sorry, I can't remember everyone's names.
I have to imagine that resonated with you very strongly second movie.
I think that's why
in
I already laughed.
He is the audience in that moment. He's my dad in that moment, being like, who are these people?
I do think, like, Tom Holland, the writing for Tom Holland and his delivery has been the closest they've gotten to the comic book Peter Parker of, like, sort of always a chatterbox, and, like, always in a way that is, like, kind of, like, dissing whoever he's fighting without being, like, I don't know, like, rude or vulgar or, like, crass or anything. Like, the tone of him just being like a motor mouth, it works really well.
Basically, he's the tone of voice of any brand social media account out there. You know, they're not really offensive, but they got some snark to them. That's what they're really going for.
And they're eager to apologize if they make a mistake.
Very much so. The only thing about Homecoming that I really love is it's a movie actually shot in New York. And, well, at least it feels for the most part like New York. I'm a little tired of the concrete jungle of Atlanta that has become, or outside Georgia where they shoot everything, where it doesn't actually feel like a real place for the majority of what they're shooting. And obviously Wakanda is not a real place, but it just felt nice to be in a city and in New York and see recognizable landmarks.
Yeah, I'm with you. I like that they did follow through on the sort of joke of like sticking to being a neighborhood Spider-Man for a little while. Yeah. And like, they not only did they play it for a literal joke, but they also kept the movie a little smaller. They kept him out of, you know, we didn't have a scene of like Peter Parker has not been up on the Empire State Building, you know. Or I mean, maybe he has, but like, we didn't see it, and that's good. I think should we get into, we've sort of covered, again, we're kind of pulling an Emily and going out of order, but we've got Thor, Ragnarok, Black Panther, and Ant-Man and the Wasp, I think, yet to just touch on if we want, before we wrap up. Emily, where do we go next?
I really love Thor Ragnarok, and I mean, I thought Thor was almost a different character in this one than he was in some of the earlier movies. It's like he's progressively defining his sense of humor, and he's getting funnier. Because, yeah, this one he's just seemed quippier, I think, than other movies. But I liked it. I thought he was funny. Again, this one really didn't make sense to me because I watched out of order, and I didn't understand why the Hulk was like stranded on that planet and why the like Black Widow message popped up, but that all clicked together later. But yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed Thor Ragnarok. I didn't think I would as much, but I thought it was really fun.
It's kind of crazy they can release a movie called Thor Ragnarok and have it be like a buddy comedy, like on a different planet, and have it work. But I think that speaks to both, like, I mean, the other Thor movies have kind of underperformed, and I think they over time have learned what they had in Chris Hemsworth, who I think is like a very charismatic, very funny star. And yeah, Taika Waititi, who wrote and directed the film, like, just, yeah, got it right. This is one of my, I don't know if I'd put it on like favorite level, but it's definitely my most rewatched Marvel movie. Like, I'll throw this on anytime because it goes down so easy.
It also was the necessary change in Thor. That was, I mean, from what we saw in The Dark World, and having just recently rewatched The Dark World, there's so little that happens or is to be said about that movie. I don't think the movie has anything to say. It was a really rough rewatch of Thor: Dark World. So to get back to Thor: Ragnarok, it is a refreshing take on the character.
Definitely, definitely. What about Ryan? Anything on Thor?
No, I think it's great. I think that you know, in Phase 3, they started letting filmmakers like really kind of spread wings, and I think that this is like a perfect example of that. And I think that it's like legitimately funny. There's such crazy things that I think that it highlights how these actors have also been able to occupy the same characters in different tones so well. And I think that they figured out what to do with Thor, which was great.
I also really like Cate Blanchett in it.
Yeah.
That was Cate Blanchett, right? Yeah, she was great. She like seemed to really relish being evil, which was fun to watch.
That is true. They just went for it with her. They were like, be the worst. Just be the worst. But Taika Waititi's other films, Hunt for the Wilder People and What We Do in the Shadows, if anybody hasn't seen them, like, just watch those for tone. It's like the same sense of humor. They're very, very different movies, but I think the guys were like one of my favorite people working today as a writer and a director, so...
And we also need his character of Korg, and we need to know if he survived the snap, because I wouldn't mind if Korg comes in and saves the day in Endgame. Everybody's talking about Captain Marvel making the difference. I'm on the Korg bandwagon.
Korg wagon.
Anyway, Black Panther. We've got Black Panther to talk about. I have to think, my vote for the best of Phase 3, and in terms of best, I think it's maybe the best overall film of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, though I like Captain America Winter Soldier more, just because I have more fun with it. Black Panther, I think, is the toast so far of the MCU.
So I only watched Black Panther recently in my binge watching of the Marvel Universe, and I think maybe my expectations were too high just because I had heard all of this praise for it for like over a year. And I do find that sometimes I think sometimes when I go into a movie blind, I enjoy it more than when I have super amped up Definitely. Expectations. Not to say I didn't really enjoy it. I just don't know that I really think it's an Oscar caliber film.
I don't think
any of the Marvel movies are, but there's all this talk like leading up to the Oscars, like will Black Panther win Best Picture? And I really enjoy it. I think it's very well done. It's a good movie. But I don't think it's a Best Picture winner,
Completely agree with you. I think that it was the Best Picture because they've been trying to expand the category and bring in more films and have it be broader. It's not a Best Picture caliber movie, but it, to me, is still one the best of the MCU because it is just a really great film. And expectations to me are everything. I feel like everybody has, you know, so much built up in their mind about a lot of movies or they didn't have anything and it can impact so much of your experience. So I usually feel like I ask people, you know, what frame of mind were you in when you saw this movie? Because if that was the case, it can really tell why someone maybe hated something that is actually maybe a decent movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think more so than, although I think the movie is very good and I think that Ryan Coogler is brilliant. I think that, and this is a good thing, I think that Black Panther will be remembered more as like a cultural moment. And I think that that's what Black Panther was and like what it meant like culturally was a beautiful thing.
All right, guys, here's the deal with Black Panther. It's freaking great. It has one of the best villains in the MCU. Like 100%. Michael absolutely. B. Jordan as Killmonger is absolutely incredible. And they like really, really stepped up their villain game in making a sympathetic character who was a great, great counterbalance to the hero in this one. It's also got like a great soundtrack. It sounds so cool to watch that movie. I do think, talking Oscars, the costume and production design, which both got the actual trophies, like were so deserving. This movie like laid out a whole new look and brought Afrofuturism to the mainstream, which was like something that had only vaguely been on my radar and I had no real like tangible understanding of. And I think they like put a visual language to it, both between the costumes and the design of Wakanda in a way that like I thought was super exciting. And like, he's, I gotta work it in, guys. He's James Bond. He is literally, for like, it's like Shuri is his Q, and Black Panther is like, this movie has a casino scene, and he like wears the coolest outfits, and he's always the coolest, smartest, like least talkative guy in the room. So I love basically everything in this movie up until I'm not crazy about the big climax. I think I think the actual fight between Golden Jaguar and Black Panther, or like Killmonger and Black Panther, is it, the CGI doesn't hold up for me. I didn't need it to take place like in the mines, in the caves where the vibranium is mined. And I do think, again, spoilers, I think it's a shame that they did kill off Killmonger. I think he would have been an excellent like character to have in your back pocket, you know, in a prison somewhere, to come back in the, you know, the third movie in what will surely be a trilogy.
But I love that. I mean, everything Michael B. Jordan does, but the fact that he says that, you know, the line that they even came up with there about, you know, being a slave or deciding to kill you, that was it's incredible. The writing there was so spectacular. I don't want that moment gone. Like, I just thought his ending was so great.
I agree, and I think that's him, and that's Ryan Coogler writing that, in like just nailing that scene. I also love his intro, like in the museum, is so great. And then we also have like Andy Serkis and Martin Freeman are both in this movie, and I think really solid. Like, this one is another one. I think the sort of back to back of like Thor Ragnarok and Black Panther, really like are like, I don't know, maybe my two favorite back to back movies in the MCU.
It also had a score. I mean, one of the things I love is that it's a memorable score. I don't forget that, and it's been well documented. So many other Marvel movies do not have any kind of a score. Captain America does. You know, there's ones for the characters when they're introed, but Avengers has its own theme. But there's just very poor music work. But then you have something like Black Panther, which is iconic.
I love it. I think it's great. The ending
didn't
is
it
just,
win an Oscar?
I think it was nominated, but it didn't win, because the only two wins were the ones Sam mentioned before. But the composer Ludwig, I don't remember his last name, is also doing the composing for The Mandalorian. So bringing it all back to Star Wars in 40 minutes into our Marvel conversation.
Also, just a note about Ryan Coogler. That's just an interesting fact. He only has worked with female directors of photography.
Ryan, I just Googled it really quick. It did win best original score. Ludwig Göransson, and I did miss that. I only knew about costume and production design, again, that's me being like a visual person. That was what I zeroed in on and was like super excited. It was the first black women to win those awards respectively. It's an awesome movie, and it is going to be, you know, perhaps more important as a cultural moment, but I think like I'm glad that it's also like a good and fun movie to watch as an important cultural moment.
The ensemble did win something. I don't remember if it was a Golden Globe or a SAG, but I remember watching an award show and everyone getting on stage.
Yeah, I think you're right. It might have been a SAG award.
Yeah.
Shall we move on? We've talked a lot about Infinity War. Ant-Man and the Wasp, we've sort of touched on. We talked about
both
Ant-Man movies are breezy and standalone. And really, I think you mentioned it, Emily, the Wasp character gets a lot more agency than in the first movie.
Yeah, and I was so excited about that because I love Evangeline Lilly and was really excited to see her in something again. Mm-hmm. And so the opposite of Black Panther, I went into Ant-Man with really low expectations because when this movie came out, it was back when I was a non-believer, and I remember being like, Ant-Man, like, what are they going to do next? Like, now there's a superhero ant? Like, this is getting insane. And when I went to watch it, this time, I still had pretty low expectations. It was just kind of watching it because it was another movie to watch, and like I said, nothing to do. But I loved it. Like Ryan said, it's breezy, it's really light, similar tone, I think, to Spider-Man Homecoming, where it just seems like they're having a lot of fun. Paul Rudd's great. Michael Douglas is great. I can't remember what that the villain's like his actual name is, but he's really good in it too. And yeah,
Walton Goggins, in the
first one, the original, the partner who's mad Michael Douglas, he's his mentor.
In the first one, it's Corey Stoll is the actor. Oh, I forget the character's name.
Yeah. But yeah, in the second
Yellow
one,
Jacket.
Something else. And Michelle Pfeiffer's in the second one. I mean, she doesn't have a huge role, but something else I appreciate about this movie, which Evangeline Lilly, the Wasp, is the only female superhero to tie her hair back when she's in battles. And that just makes so much sense. Like, I don't understand how everyone else is able to see to, like, defend themselves. And they're, like, hair's flying around. Like, Black Widow's hair is always down. And Captain Marvel, which, you know, I love Black Widow, loved Captain Marvel, perfectly curled hair that's always down. Like, it just is not, like, functionally, that just does not make sense. And the Wasp has her hair back in a bun. That makes sense. She needs to be able to see, can't risk getting hair in her eyes. So it's
telling me that Black Widow's run down the hallway in Iron Man 2 where she has giant curls doesn't make any sense?
This is really backtracking, but when we were talking about Iron Man movies being outdated, I wanted to bring up that Black Widow is definitely introduced as the, like, Avenger who uses her sexuality as a weapon, which is just so, like, overdone and stupid, and 30 Rock has made fun of it, as well as, like, a bunch of other comedies, and it's great to see the Wasp and Captain Marvel, and I think they've kind of, I mean, Black Widow obviously doesn't, that's not, like, something that she uses in the later movies, but it's pretty clear in the Iron Man movies that they're relying a lot on her sexuality.
It'll be interesting to see. So they have announced, Emily, that, like, they are making a Black Widow movie, like a solo movie.
I wanted to ask you guys if that's true, because I had heard that too, and that's exciting if it's really happening.
I mean, it's not officially announced because they haven't announced any movies past Endgame, mostly because they're trying to pretend that they, you know, they don't know what's going to happen at the end of Endgame, with the exception of Spider-Man 2. That's the only one that's been announced otherwise.
I think Disney hasn't announced it, but I do think, like, I mean, there have been like casting announcements in the sort of major, like, trades, like Hollywood Reporter and
we heard that about the Boba Fett movie, and none of that happened. So
okay, well, Mike's still salty about the Boba Fett movie.
he burnt once.
Fool me once, or whatever. You're not gonna fool me again.
not gonna fool me.
I do think Evangeline Lilly might have Brie Larson's so good too, though. Like, I was just gonna say, like, I think she might have, like, nailed the like you say, like, just like pulling the hair back, the way she's like her physicality in the role, like the armor, the Wasp armor and everything. They really just treated it like superhero, not like female superhero, you know, which was cool, which was great. And she
did think it was a little flimsy that her and Hank had such a problem with Paul Rudd for going to Germany to fight with Captain America. Like, that's
no,
the kind of
I agree with that
him.
Too.
Yeah.
They needed to tie it in somehow. Otherwise, that movie's just taking place in its own thing, which would have been fine. But
which do you guys? So I feel like, and I don't know that I can't remember if I've rewatched Ant-Man and the Wasp or not, but I think I like the first Ant-Man maybe better. But
they're very on par.
Know.
I mean, really,
yeah,
between
I'd put them pretty much exactly the same. Cool. They could have just put them next to each other. But you know how I feel about Paul Rudd.
The joke of 3.5 foot tall Paul Rudd is maybe the hardest I've ever laughed in a movie theater.
And yeah, you laugh pretty hard, Sam. I've seen a few movies with you.
They really
pretty good laugher in a theater.
They have a good time with that stuff. Like, I think they do it with a lot of wit. And it's the Ant-Man movies to me, like, for people who have been following them for a long time, the one thing that's, like, a drawback to them is that every time I'm watching them, I just think what it would be like if Edgar Wright had done them.
Yes.
Which isn't fair to Peyton Reed, because I think he's done, like, a beautiful job with
and
them.
And I agree, because it is, I wonder the same thing, but also, like, Peyton Reed is, like, he's a filmmaker in his own right. And he's a good one. So, yeah,
what
maybe
other
we
films
all need
did
to
he make?
Get over that.
Bring It On. Heard of it?
Is that the... Okay. Well,
were you about to say, is that You know what it is.
We've come to the end of our MCU Phase 3 discussion, but we're not done talking yet because, Sam, I know you want to talk about some more rumored Marvel series that could be coming out very soon.
Yeah, so back on, I guess we're back on this debate of is it rumored or is it announced? But so I guess they have officially announced Loki and Scarlet Witch series will be on Disney Plus. And I think everybody's sort of expecting that to be somewhere in like in the realm of like a 6 to 10 episode, you know, series each. They are going to feature Tom Hiddleston and Lizzie Olsen in the roles, but the other ones that, like, there's been a lot of rumors about a Falcon and Bucky show, and then also I
Falcon
think
and Bucky like together.
Falcon and yeah. Bucky together as like a buddy, like the non-Caps, like Cap, the Cap friends, which I think would be great. It's like entirely a series based around that brief moment in the back of a VW in Civil yeah. War. I also read today a Vision thing, which I wonder if that's if that might be part of the Scarlet Witch show as opposed to his own. But of course, they could just do a Vision series that would be sort of based on the Tom King comic, which was absolutely great.
But about, if they, like, I feel like it'd be such Vision. A missed opportunity if they don't do Scarlet Witch, Vision and the Scarlet Witch.
I agree.
It depends on if you think that relationship works for the movies. If you actually
well, but like they have a great opportunity to make that relationship work for the movies by expanding on it in a series, and then all of a sudden it always seems like it worked.
Yep.
But guys,
Emily, would you like to see a whole movie of that?
I really liked. Okay, I really liked Elizabeth Olsen. I don't know who plays Vision, and he's only semi-compelling to me.
Semi-compelling.
You do know who it is. You just don't realize it. It's Paul Bettany.
But who's Paul Bettany?
So she doesn't know who it is.
Beautiful Mind, Knight's Tale,
Da Vinci Code, part of the Robert Langdon trilogy, the best of Ron Howard's work.
Is he in Match Point or the other tennis movie?
Yeah, I think Wimbledon. It's called Wimbledon.
Wimbledon. There we go.
Oh, is he the lead with Kirsten Dunst in that?
That's exactly right.
Okay,
he's holding a tennis racket against
his head on the front.
Okay, I
haven't seen that movie, but the poster's in my mind for some
he
reason.
He did not. I thought maybe he had an Achilles injury in that movie playing tennis, but that was wrong. I thought we'd bring it all back, circling it around, but I was
wrong. Oh, wow.
You say it's wrong. Did you just look up the Wikipedia page to Wimbledon?
I should try. I did not. I just figured that my instinct was wrong.
Guys, gotcha. The reason we're talking so much about Paul Bettany is not because we want to talk about Paul Bettany or because Emily remembers the poster, which I also remember the poster.
It's because
he's holding
all
a tennis racket against his head lightly on the poster. It's all white.
Is it because we all love Dryden Voss in Solo? His villain and character in Solo, after we mentioned everything that he did, we didn't mention the Star Wars movie he was in.
How long did it take us to get there? Guys, today, when we're recording this, or a couple days ago when you're listening to this, the big rumor is that they are doing a Hawkeye series, and it's going to be based on the Matt Fraction run from a couple years ago, which if you hadn't read, you must read. It's so good. It's like all about Hawkeye during his downtime between Avengers missions.
Which would be great for this.
That Jeremy Renner is supposed to come in, and they're rumored to be introducing Kate Hawkeye replacement. Kate, what's her name? I'm Googling now because I'm blanking on it. Kate
Bishop.
Do
you think they'll do an entire episode from the point of view of the dog like Matt Fraction did in that series?
I'd adore it if they did. It's
There's
so
a whole
good.
Comic book from the point of view of Hawkeye's dog.
Yeah, the concept is like Hawkeye takes some of his Avengers money and buys a building in Brooklyn that's like in a like area that's sort of run by a bunch of mob enforcers.
I didn't know the Avengers were doing so well that he could buy real estate in Brooklyn.
Well, like that's Tony part of the joke is that the other Avengers are like doing better than Hawkeye because he's like not always on the team. So it's like he's like between health insurance, I think, whenever he's in the book. But it's just like for any Renheads out there, like my wife, I think this is very exciting news.
How does she feel about his haircut in the Endgame trailer?
Actually, I think she's real into it, which is like disconcerting.
So is a certain wife that I know.
I'm not a fan. I saw somebody had made a Photoshop today of the Endgame poster where everyone has like 80s hair metal hair.
I think his hair's dope.
Emily, have you seen this haircut?
I haven't. I'm going to say I'm not a fan.
Interesting. Now, Emily, as we're wrapping up, Sam, are you done with your segment? Sorry, I don't want to.
Oh, that was it. I'm taking this as gospel. Mike's going to tell you it's a rumor, but you look, follow your heart, decide who you want to believe. I'm telling you that this is coming, and this is like Thanos. It's coming and it cannot be avoided.
It's coming, Tony. Tony, Thanos. Emily, as we wrap up here, Endgame is coming in 2 weeks. What's your excitement? I almost said anxiety level. I assumed everyone's like me. What's your excitement level? Are you going to see it opening weekend? Are you going to see it? Are you bringing friends? Are you proselytizing this to people?
I'm trying to get my friend Betsy. She's who I saw Captain Marvel with. Unfortunately, she has not had hours upon hours of time on her hands to watch all of the Marvel movies, which is, you know, hard to believe. But our plan is to watch Infinity War together, and I'm going to give her all the cliff notes because I'm now an expert. And then I think I'm going to wrangle her into seeing Endgame with me. I doubt it'll be opening weekend just because, I feel like tickets are probably already sold out. I'm not that dedicated. But maybe the weekend after.
Nice.
I am excited for it, though. I'm excited.
You know, it's 3 hours and 2 minutes, and I'm very excited about that.
I'm totally fine with that.
We're 22 movies into this thing. What, they're gonna make cuts? Who cares?
we'll get Chris a seat on the aisle.
He always has a seat on the aisle.
The droid heads may or may not be seeing it at 6:55 in the morning.
Well, I don't think we have enough tickets now for the droid heads, do we? Chris decided to buy 2 instead of 4.
I thought you bought 2.
I didn't because I kept asking Sam if you wanted tickets, and Sam never responded.
Oh, no.
Who?
Well, we got to take this offline.
That was you, Sam. All right. Well, Endgame approaches. This has been another edition of the Star Wars Droids Are Looking For a Star Wars Podcast MCU discussion. Emily, thank you for joining us. Maybe we'll have you back on.
The Emily CU.
Thank you for having me.
Maybe we'll have you back on after Endgame and see what your thoughts were on all of this and if the 22 films that you've watched were worth the time for what Endgame gives us.
Yeah, definitely. I'd love that.
Guys, I just put that poster for you all to see in the doc we're looking at, which I think is very funny.
For our listeners, that's a really helpful bit of information.
We'll put it in the notes. We'll put a link to it.
That is going to do it for the Droids You're Looking For a Star Wars Podcast. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Email us, droidspod@gmail.com. Twitter, droidspod. Instagram, droidspod. The Droids Podcast on Facebook. Rate it and review us on iTunes. And, of course, join us again where Chris will stop sending dispatches and come back. But that'll do it for this edition of the Droids You're Looking For a Star Wars Podcast.
We have what they grow beyond.
Tony?
I like that.